Hey there and hello, I'm your Bobby Flay hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and welcome to In Yo Mouth!
In Yo Mouth.
I'm the queen of food who's always in the mood
to lick it right, lick it good, show you how to
Oh god, that's good.
I wanna know what you eat from the streets to the sheets,
so open wide, honey,
I'm coming.
In Yo
Got the goosebumps.
Hey there and welcome back, folks. Once again, I'm your hostess with the mostest, Michael Munoz, and I am wet in my britches today for our guest. I am so excited to have Chef Ash Falk from Pleasant Hill, California, here with me today. Say hi to the people, Chef.
Hi, people. How are you?
Yeah, so Chef Ash is known as one of the competitors from season 6 of Bravo's hit series, Top Chef. Yes, folks, you heard right. Top Chef. Here on In Your Mouth, we are climbing the ladder. Yes. My favorite part about this is that he was even deemed the season's queer triple threat. Yes, queen. So Falk is an entirely self-taught locavore who focuses on regional and seasonal preparations and operates by the principle, if it grows together, it goes together. Since Top Chef, he has made many television appearances, including The Rachel Ray Show, Chopped Grill Masters, and even was named as Out Magazine's Top 100. We have a lot to unpack, and I am so excited to have you here, so thank you.
Thank you.
How are you?
Me. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, and happy National Bavarian Cream Pie Day.
I love a Bavarian cream pie. Thank God for Bavarians.
I hear you're a custard master, I was reading.
Oh, I do a lot of custard. Well, I'm only a custard master because I'm not good at anything else pastry.
Okay.
So when I was a pastry chef at a restaurant, I just made all these custards because it was the one thing I knew how to do. So it was
right.
Like ice cream and creme brulee and all that stuff. So
what's the difference between Bavarian cream and Boston cream?
Well, one's, you know, not American, so I prefer the American cream.
Okay.
No, just kidding. No. It's pretty much the same thing.
I'll take the cream anywhere I can get
exactly,
it.
Exactly. All over myself.
Yes. And really quickly, today in gay history, today is actually a very, very special day. And Chef Ash has listened to the pod, so he knows that I conjure the voices of our gay elders. In 1978, Harvey Milk and San Francisco's Mayor George Moscone were assassinated by former city supervisor Dan White. Without people like Harvey Milk, I wouldn't be able to be sitting here with Ash. And so a big shout out and honor to him on this day. And in saying that, why don't we just take a quick moment of silence in honor of Harvey Milk? And so we're back, and on much of a lighter note, yeah, thanks for being on the pod. How are you? Now, I want to know, how does a boy from Pleasant Hills, California, end up being the head chef and operations manager here at Hills Country Barbecue?
Well, it's kind of a, you know, I just started cooking in just out of high school.
Okay.
I really wasn't very good at school. In fact, I barely graduated high school. I had to take a continuation to graduate.
All right.
Couldn't sit still. You know, college wasn't for me. Didn't know what to do. So I went and worked at a restaurant as like a prep cook. And I just sort of fell in love with the vibe of the restaurant. I fell in love with not just the cooking aspect, but like just like the feel of a restaurant. I mean, you worked in the industry, you know. Like,
yeah.
The vibe in a restaurant can be really special, and it's just active, and it's alive, and it's electric. And I love like all the diversity and the different walks of life that were in a restaurant. So I just fell in love with it and kept doing it, and then moved to San Diego for a while, worked there, and then I just was like, I got to be where the big boys are. I got to get to New York City, so...
Wow. And I love that you're self-taught, much like myself,
yeah.
And you may not know this about me. A little history, In Your Mouth listeners. I met Chef Ash at, is it okay that I call you Chef Ash?
You can call me Ash, Chef Ash.
Ash,
you
know. Ash. I met Ash at the LGBT Center's Garden Party, mm-hmm. which is a fundraiser that they do to kick off Pride Week, and it's one of my favorite events and my friends' favorite events every year to go to. It's a walk-around tasting and drink fest, and everybody's dressed up to the nines, and then I reconnected with Ash recently at the New York Wine and Food Festival, which somebody was a little shady because he said, wasn't I supposed to be in your pod? And I dropped the ball, so yes.
The shade of it all. That's okay. Now we got the Thanksgiving episode. That's the best episode, right?
Yes, for sure. So back to getting to New York,
yeah.
Right? So you come to New York to play with the big boys.
Yeah.
What's your first job here? How did that all happen?
So I got to New York with a few hundred bucks in my pocket, and I thought I would come and New York would welcome me in as a, oh, thank you for coming. I'm so glad you're here finally.
It's like that scene from Annie where she gets off the bus and she's like, NYC.
Exactly. Totally. I thought I was ready. And of course, you know, there were a lot of doors slammed in my face. I'd left. I was in San Diego. I'd been a sous chef at the W Hotel. I'd opened a restaurant. I knew my way around, and I just could not find a job. So I had to take a line cook job. And I took a line cook job at a restaurant called Trestle on 10th, which is on 10th Avenue and 24th. It's no longer there, under Chef Ralph Krutel. And I just worked there, and I worked my way up. And I actually stayed there until I came to Hill Country.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was a great experience. And I realized that there is something, until you cook in New York, you really haven't cooked anywhere.
Well, then I guess I'm a Michelin star rating.
Yeah, exactly.
Being born and raised. But that's what I was telling you, going back. What I love about you is that you're self-taught, and much like I am, and this is something you don't know about me, my entire culinary experience and journey has also been self-taught. Yeah. I have learned from some of the most amazing chefs that I've watched while serving in many of the New York like major restaurants that I don't mention on the pod for very specific reasons. I even so much had my own custom cake business for
a while. Oh, that's amazing.
No, it was not fun.
Cakes are tough, man.
Cakes are tough. I got drunk at Flaming Saddles, this gay bar, this country gay bar.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
And the owners, these two straight people whom I love, asked me to make a purse cake for his wife,
purse
Jackie.
Purse first. Okay.
Yeah, purse first. And I said, sure. I woke up the next day and I called my best friend Michael and I said, I think I promised a purse cake to somebody. And he goes, good luck, girl. And he hung up on me. And that was my foray into custom cake baking for a while.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah, I cried over every last one.
I'm sure. Well, you should cry over a cake.
The
salty tears make it great.
So being self-taught and working your way up through the kitchen, how did you end up landing on barbecue?
Well, that's interesting. So I was on Top Chef. I got off the show, and I had this impression before the show that the only way to be a great cook was fine dining, really nice cooking. And it wasn't really food that I loved. I didn't spend a lot of time at fine dining restaurants. I didn't eat there. And so I got off the show, and I kind of wandered about a bit. I did a consulting, which, you know, consulting chef means unemployed.
Yeah.
But I was unemployed for the summer. I actually spent the summer on Fire Island cooking at the Blue Whale, if you've ever been out to Fire Island.
Yes. What summer was that?
Oh, God, it would have been 2010.
Oh, interesting.
I think I remember you. You were with the long lashes and the sparkles. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Only during Invasion.
Yeah, I was there during Invasion, yeah. But it was great. It was great fun. It was a great gay summer to be out there. And really, just you were immersed in the gay culture out there. And it was really fun.
Just hanging out, making barbecue in the meat rack.
I mean, pretty much. Actually, that was in the downfall of the meat rack. That was when it was starting to fall apart. But damn grinder. But,
damn it.
So I cooked out there, consulted out there for a summer, and then I came back to New York, and I was looking for a job, and if I'm honest, I was just becoming more and more broke, and I was like, God, I really need to find a gig, any gig. And I was at Le Cirque, and I was trailing at Le Cirque. Am I allowed to say names of things?
You can say.
It's true.
Le Cirque.
Okay.
We're at Le Cirque.
I was at Le Cirque, and I trailed for a position, and they weren't really offering me the money or any real money. And my headhunter called me and said, do you want to come over to this place, Hill Country? And I was like, I'm not cooking barbecue for a living. Like, what? Are you crazy? I am a chef extraordinaire, right? And I called my buddy at the time, Ashley Merriman, who is now works at Prune, married to Gabrielle Hamilton. And she said to me, she
drop
goes,
all the names, honey. Just give me all the
names.
You
can pick that name up. But actually, we haven't talked in a while, but we should. So I reached out to her, and we were just chatting on the phone. She's like, well, what do you like to eat? And I had said, well, I like to eat barbecue. And she's like, why don't you cook what you want to eat? And I didn't realize that I'd been sort of wearing somewhat of a false face in the fine dining world. And, like, really what I liked to do was cook big, giant slabs of meat and, you know, do that. So
yeah,
that's kind of how it started,
that.
Yeah. And I've been here now for almost 10 years, so.
Yeah, I mean, and you've garnered this place 2 stars by the New York Times. So let's let the children know, honey. Let's let them know that.
Well, it was on my watch, but
yes, this is the New York Times' first restaurant, that barbecue place that they
is the first. We have a few that have joined us. Mighty Quinn's Hometown Barbecue.
Mighty Quinn's is so delicious.
Yeah, Mighty, especially Second Avenue. Hugh is a great chef. Another name. There you go. Pick it up.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just give me all the names. So I wanted, I kind of want to dive into the gayness of it all and growing up in a kitchen, being a gay man and what that means. Because in this male-dominated industry that's very hyper-masculine, yeah. I'm sure that you have encountered some sort of, maybe I don't know, maybe you haven't, some sort of difficulties coming up through the kitchen. You know, almost like women chefs have to like prove themselves and go the extra mile just because they're women in this hyper-masculine, dominated industry.
Absolutely. I mean, coming up, so, you know, I started doing this, you know, when I was 18 or so, and it was tough coming up. And what you do is you sort of hide a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky that I can pass. My husband reminds me that all the time. But, you know, that I just don't have a lot of, you know, you don't know naturally looking at me that I'm gay. But that sort of is great in one sense, but in another sense, it's like all around you, there is all of the peripheral bullying of using hate speech and saying things that are terrible. I mean, you know, there were a lot of words thrown around the kitchen that I would never say and I don't say. And a lot of like jokes about, you know, whatever, gay jokes and this and that. So it's like you're around it and being able to, people not suspecting, I guess, that I was gay, and I would never tell people, you know, for the first few years. Now,
so did you have to like come out in the kitchen? Is that like a second coming out?
Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, I never actually, until I left San Diego. Well, I was in when I left the W Hotel in San Diego, mm-hmm. At the next restaurant, I was like, okay, this is ridiculous. Like, I need to just like come in, be honest, you know. And I always would justify it away. And looking back, I see it as a justification. Like, well, I don't need to tell people my business. You know, not realizing that there's probably some other gay cooks, gay waiters that, you know, me as the sous chef or as the pastry chef, like standing up and being like, okay, it's cool, guys, I'm gay and we're all going to be okay with that.
Yeah. It's just really, really important,
I think.
Yeah. And especially since I've turned up the gay volume on the podcast, to see queer people, LGBTQ people, thriving and being excellent in other veins other than television,
mm-hmm.
you know? Like making marks in this industry and creating space for us and letting people know, in the spirit of Harvey Milk, mm-hmm. hello today, coming out of the closet and into the streets,
yeah, exactly.
to let the people know.
And it was really important. And some of those early years, I definitely, you know, hold some shame about not just being honest, because I don't think I was ever worked at a place where there would have been, you know, anything terrible happened to me. You know, I'm very lucky. I'm from California. You know, we're a pretty liberal state. But,
yes.
you know, I just regret that. When I came to New York, I just decided I wouldn't ever hide again, and I was just honest with people from day one.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I need to let the In Your Mouth listeners know that we are potting live from the basement of Hill Country Barbecue. Their second space. It looks like they have a stage down here for bands.
Yeah, we do
and
live
concert,
music.
And so on. So if you hear a little squeak in the background or some people talking, we're potting out of a full functioning restaurant.
It's real. It's authentic barbecue realness.
Authentic barbecue. Yes, honey. So back to being, back to like coming out in the kitchen and like just queer excellence and highlighting that and praising that, because that's beautiful. Did you have a hard coming out? Would you mind sharing your coming out story?
No, it's actually, I mean, that's the funny thing about, I think, when you're really ready and you're really confident, it's not hard, because there is you just put your foot down, you say, this is what you accept, and that's it. And, you know, I'm very lucky, because when I was telling people in the kitchen, I was the boss. Like, yeah. I was the sous chef by that point. So it was like, this is it. And if you don't like it, I'm here. You got to go.
Yeah,
like, that's,
of course.
And I never really had any issues. I mean, you know, and again, it's about keeping a sense of humor and understanding that you're dealing with a lot of people from very different walks of life that have had lifetime of, you know, their perspective on the world has been ingrained for a lifetime. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience to, you know, make change. And you, I tend to meet that change not as a freight train, you know. I tend to meet that train softly, and I welcome when people are wrong and soft corrections and teaching them sort of a proper way to speak, you know.
Yeah, I mean, those teachable moments are so valuable, especially being led, because you run this joint, you know.
Yeah.
So the captain at the helm, those teachable moments are so important, because you're doing such a great job and creating your mark in this business, in the barbecue world. To be that inspiration and to be a gay man is just, it's just invaluable.
And then that's true. And then I enter the barbecue world, which is incredibly macho.
Yeah.
But one of my mentors was actually a woman pitmaster, Elizabeth Carmel, another name.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm tagging everybody.
she's amazing. She's super talented. And she was one of my mentors. And it was just, she talked a lot about being a woman in the world. And I was like, well, I'm going to be a gay dude in the barbecue world. And she's like, it'll be fine. And it is really strange, because these people that you would think, you know, stereotypically from the South, from very rural areas, from probably very red states,
uh-huh.
They all come together, and it doesn't really, there is a community that you focus on the food, and that's really what's actually important, is great ribs, great barbecue. So
yeah.
I felt really great about the community welcoming me. So
For sure. And about home life, did you have a hard coming out that way as well? Or?
So
can we talk about
yeah,
it?
We can, yeah, we can. In high school, I got in a fight with my mother, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was about. I mean, bologna sandwich or something. Yeah. It's something stupid.
I hate you.
I hate you, and I'm gay, was that. And my mother responded with, like, the craziest. She said, so? And I was like, oh, yeah, you're kind of right. So what? She's like, let's talk more about the bologna. Like, I'm pissed about whatever we were arguing about. My father, I did a little more picturesque. And I actually never officially told him until I met my husband in New York just a few years ago. And I was like, this guy's for me. Like, I'm going to be with him forever. I'm so in love, you know, head over heels for him. And so this was, you know, I go back for Thanksgiving, and we're walking on this beautiful fall November day in Georgia. And there's like leaves falling and everything's perfect. I'm like, Dad. And I tell him, like, I'm dating this guy, Kyle. And he's like, okay. Like, that was it. You know, but in my head, I thought it was going to be this big thing, and Dad was going to freak out. My dad's super liberal and cool. But so I'm one of the lucky. I always count myself very lucky, because I've heard of terrible horror stories. You know, I did some work with the Ali Fournay Center early on, and I practically cried the whole time at the event.
Yeah.
And there are heartbreaking stories. So I always count myself very lucky, and I you know, I always acknowledge that sometimes, you know, I got lucky.
Yeah, I am also one of the lucky ones, and I think it's important that we share our stories for that one person out there that may be listening to the pod on the down low,
mm-hmm.
you know, under the covers, in the closet, under the bed,
yeah.
wherever you're listening, to just express that it is okay and that it does get better, right?
Mm.
It may get a little worse before it gets better, but, you know, like, that there are people thriving and doing excellent, excellent things out there. So thank you. Thank you for sharing your story.
Of course.
I think it's very important. So before we get into Thanksgiving, which is why I really have you here, because it's the day before Thanksgiving. Everybody is stressed out. Hopefully this pod is like calming you down out there while the cranberry sauce burns on the stove. I think it would be fun to take you through my favorite part and the audience's favorite part of the pod, a little bit of food news update.
Woo!
Food news.
Ooh, honey, you ain't ready,
girl. Spill the tea.
News update.
Jimmy Dean's sausage-scented wrapping paper is back, in case you were worried. Thank you, Delish.com.
Wow. Well, I've always loved Jimmy's sausage. You know, but
I haven't met a man named Jimmy whose sausage I didn't like, if we're going to do it.
Exactly. Let's do it.
So being a pitmaster and a big meat guy, would you use sausage-scented wrapping paper?
Well, I think I would, especially for my husband, because he likes to try to figure out what the gift is. So I think it would be good to sort of throw him off the scent, as it were.
That's incredible. So just for you all out there, and you meat lovers, this one's for you. The recipe gift exchange that Jimmy Dean is doing is a fun way for loyal Jimmy Dean customers to share their favorite dishes to make using Jimmy Dean products. All you have to do is upload a photo through their website of your homemade recipe and then choose what gift you want in return. The offer is only valid to December 17th, and these gifts are, you can get a sausage packet ornament, some cowboy slipper boots, some sausage-flavored candy canes, Jimmy Dean logo socks, sweet and savory lip balm, and sausage-scented wrapping paper.
That's amazing. I love that.
Right? I personally would want this, the cowboy slipper boots. Right? How do you feel about sausage-flavored candy canes?
Oh, I'd be into that. I'd be into a sausage-flavored candy cane. I like weird flavors. Like, I get excited, like, at the ballpark when the food comes out of a bag. Like, I get really into like that intense flavor and that fake flavor.
I'm here for it too. There's a company out there. I forget which one. They were doing kale candy canes.
Ooh, I would do that.
Yeah, kale candy canes, pork candy canes, and mac and cheese candy canes.
Oh, I would devour a mac and cheese candy cane.
Yeah, I think it was Archie's, if I'm not mistaken. If you're listening, send some over. Well, Jimmy Dean, we are here for your wrapping paper and for the sausage scent of it all. Hardee's is testing out a Thanksgiving in a box meal with chicken tenders and toasted green beans. Mm. Have you ever had Hardee's? I don't think I've ever had a Hardee's.
Well, it's actually funny. My great uncle was one of the first investors in Harvey's. True story. Yeah.
In Hardee's?
Hardee's. Sorry. Yeah, not Hardee's. In Hardee's. Yeah. It's now owned by Carl's Jr. So if you've been to a Carl's Jr., they're very similar.
Oh.
My grandfather used to wake us up in the morning and he used to wear these banana yellow pants and he'd be like, it's Hardee's time. It's Hardee's time. We'd go get chicken biscuits from Hardee's. Yeah.
I don't know whether to be terrified or.
It was a little terrifying. He's a good old Southern boy. So he's a little scary.
That's hysterical. So, folks out there, and thank you once again to Delish.com. The Thanksgiving box is full of fried foods inspired by everyone's favorite gluttonous holiday. They have stuffing chicken tenders, right? Chicken tenders that are hand-breaded with sage and herb stuffing breading. And then they pack the box with sweet potato waffle fries and a special take on green bean casserole, toasted onion green beans, essentially green beans in toasted onion breading that they fry again. And then they serve on the side some savory chicken gravy as a dipping sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the meal is only $6.99, but you have to go all the way to Jacksonville, Florida to get it.
Well, I'm going to Florida next week, so I'll be there.
How do you feel about Thanksgiving in a box?
Well, I don't like anything in a box generally, but I think, I love those flavors, and I think that there is something that everyone has a great Thanksgiving memory, I hope.
Are you being very diplomatic about
Yeah, I am. I'm a little bit.
You don't
want
to be like, that sounds like some bullshit.
Well, hopefully it's not a replacement for Thanksgiving. Hopefully it is like it's like the pumpkin spice latte, right? People like that. You know, they have pumpkin pie once a year. So hopefully you're not having to replace your Thanksgiving with Hardee's, and if you are, let me know. You're welcome to come over to my house, and we'll have you over.
Double Scorpio just came out with some pumpkin spice poppers. Have you heard about them?
I mean, everything is pumpkin spice right now.
Down to your poppers.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, Hardee's, thanks for Thanksgiving in a box. I hope it's a success. Pringles is selling Turducken Friendsgiving Kit with chicken, turkey, and duck-flavored chips.
Oh, yes.
Now, is Pringle a real chip? This is a hot debate, I feel.
It's in the same debate bucket as is a taco a sandwich. I mean, like, I consider it a chip. It's crispy. It claims to be a chip.
Yeah.
It may be like, what is it, a composite of potatoes? And one of our housemates on Fire Island is obsessed with Pringles. And, I mean, I've seen him take down an entire bottle of it.
Can.
Right. An entire can of Pringles. And just seeing the joy on his face is enough for me to call it a chip.
Wow. Well, Pringles once again has brought back its Thanksgiving-flavored chip kits. And this year, they've gone totally extra. It's exactly what it sounds like. Chicken, duck, and turkey-flavored chips that can be stacked together to create a turducken.
I love it.
Right? I mean, what more do you want? And if that wasn't enough, the kit will also feature cranberry sauce, stuffing, and pumpkin pie flavored crisps to complete your meal.
That's crazy.
I'm here for it.
I love it.
If you'd like to get your hands on a kit for your upcoming celebrations, they'll be available starting at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday on Kellogg's website. That was last Thursday, y'all. So hopefully they're not sold out on this, the day before Thanksgiving.
I know. Some Pringled chips watching the game. Go Lions.
Are you? Really?
No, I'm actually a Chargers fan, but
I don't know what any of that means. And with that, I think this is a great end to food news update. Now, wait, Chargers and Lions, we're talking football.
Yeah, football. Huh?
All right. The Chargers are from where?
They're from San Diego, yeah.
Sorry, I'm a living stereotype.
Well, they're LA now. Saying. They're LA now, but they're San Diego.
And the Lions are from where?
Detroit.
And who's playing this year?
I think it's always the Lions on Thanksgiving. Like, it's a tradition or something.
Oh, is
it? I don't know who they're playing, but I think it's always the Lions. I could be wrong.
I don't know.
I don't actually know that well. I'm not that big of a...
Oh.
I'm a little bit of one.
All right. Yeah. All right. How'd you meet your husband?
We met in a bar.
Okay.
A friend of ours introduced us. I had a friend that I went to high school that was working here.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced us. And at first, as he tells it, I rejected him for like 7 months. The truth was I was new to New York. I was broke. I couldn't pay my cell phone bill. So I was calling from payphone. So it was like... It was such a hassle, you know. You've all been there. You've all been there. And so I went, and finally, after a little while, he called me and he said, "Hey, why don't we hang out? I'm having this party." And then it was a love match after that.
Yeah. What does he do?
He's a talent manager.
Yeah. Ooh,
I'm supposed to say vacuum salesman. Sorry, he's a vacuum salesman.
A Hoover, if you will. He said it, Kyle, not me. So on to Thanksgiving, as the children stress out with all their last-minute Thanksgiving preparations and whatnot, is there a key to your like last-minute like prep? You know, coming from a professional here, organization I could imagine is a big deal, but like, all right, I'm a novice. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm freaking out.
Yeah,
like.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, starting the night before is really important. You know, like really thinking about what can you do the day before. Make the cranberry sauce, cut your green beans. Any little element that you can do the night before is very helpful because it just takes away the stress. If you're baking yeasted rolls like they do in the South, like every good Thanksgiving meal has, like bake those yeasted rolls maybe the day before. Don't try to crowd your oven. Plan it out. Draw it out if you need to, like whatever, however your brain works, like really a good plan is important. Other important thing you need to remember is it's Thanksgiving. It's your family. They love you. Just like get some food on the table. Do the best you can. Worst that happens, you got to call for takeout. I mean, just really enjoy yourself and don't forget. That's actually why I cook every year during Thanksgiving because everyone else stresses out and I'm just... Don't stress. You just make something great and celebrate each other, and you'll be fine.
Great. Are you a wet brine, dry brine, no brine kind of guy?
So I go to Thanksgiving at my father's house in Georgia, and most of my life I was flying in like Wednesday at 10 o'clock for the Thursday meal. So I never really had time to brine. So this is what I do with the turkey now. So I take warm water, butter, and spices, salt, and then melt it and use a syringe to inject it into the turkey. So it's like a quick brine.
Yeah.
And it's a delicious turkey. Yeah.
Oh.
Because, you know, let's be honest. Like, we don't have room in our New York apartments or wherever you are. You don't have room for your turkey and all your Thanksgiving needs.
You better believe that I have brined a turkey in one of those.
Wow.
I live in 120 square feet of Times Square beauty.
Yes.
I am not even kidding.
Wow.
And I got one of those buckets from Home Depot.
Yes.
Put a trash bag in it, threw the turkey in. With some ice and all the brine, and then another pack of ice.
Yeah, like halfway through, yeah.
All the way through. I mean, you know, 2 days with that turkey just sitting in a bucket of ice and brine.
That's so New York. That's New York realness right there.
Right?
Yeah.
And I made an 18-pound turkey out of my convection oven.
Really?
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Hamilton Beach, baby. Not a sponsor, but I am a fan of you.
That's awesome. That's crazy.
Do you have any, last week on the pod, I had Dan Whalen from The Food in My Beard, and we were talking about, like, weird food mashups or things to, like, kind of spice up your Thanksgiving. Any like, off, not off, but any non-traditional, that's what the word I'm looking for, any non-traditional things that, like, kind of are your faves? Are you just, like, a complete traditional kind of guy.
I always try to throw something in there, you know, whatever in the moment is sort of the thing I'm obsessed with. I always say don't be afraid. If you love Asian food, don't be afraid to, you know, glaze your Brussels sprouts with some sort of fun teriyaki glaze. You know, if you're into curry, don't be afraid to use curry. You know, I do, last year I was on this big pinto bean kick. I just like needed beans at every single meal. I don't know what's wrong with me. And
Kyle's not Puerto Rican, is he?
He is Puerto Rican, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
that's,
yeah,
that's it. Yeah.
Maybe it was that. But yeah, so I cooked beans in the slow cooker for Thanksgiving and they were a hit. I mean, and not black eyed peas, like cooked a pinto bean. So I just think it's like, think about flavors you love and there's no rule to Thanksgiving saying you can't do it. I mean, there would be a riot if there wasn't a turkey on the table in my house, but, other than that, like have some fun with it or spice up your cranberry sauce. Why can't cranberry sauce have jalapenos in it? It'd be delicious.
Yeah. You know? I used to make, I think it was from Epicurious. They have a Cosmo cranberry sauce.
Oh, delicious. Love it.
Delicious. 'Cause there's a real vodka that goes in it right at the end so it doesn't cook off.
Love it.
So it's like you're taking Jello shots with every bite of turkey.
That's and with some families, you need the extra Jello shots.
For sure. So you'll be spending Thanksgiving with your family in Georgia. Is Kyle come with you? Does he not come with you?
Kyle comes with me every year. It is basically, before we got married, it was very clear that Thanksgiving was my holiday with my father in Georgia. And Christmas we spend with his family in New Jersey.
Yes. Now, are you eating? Wait a minute. We just got to skip forward to Christmas. Are you having all the Puerto Rican food? Are you having coquito and pernil
Jersey is a funny thing because Jersey's more Italian than Puerto Rican. So I always say he's, ethnically Puerto Rican and culturally Italian.
So you're just
there's lasagna. Yeah.
Lasagna. Yeah. My mother makes lasagna too. Randomly. Right?
It's a weird thing.
But we grew up in Brooklyn, kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
You end up being like Italian Jewish Rican.
Italian Jewish Rican, I love that.
Some sort of something. But no coquito even?
No coquito.
Nothing?
No, uh-uh.
Do you know what that is?
No, isn't that with the, what is that? Wait, tell me again.
No, it's Puerto Rican eggnog.
But you know what I'm going to make it this year?
I
need a recipe.
I'll get you one. I'll get you Mama Gladys's secret recipe because it's intense. My friend Cedric, shout out to you if you're listening, almost stabbed a knife right through his hand getting the coconut out of the...
Oh, it's made with like a coconut milk.
Really? Fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, fresh. And 151 rum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and cinnamon and coconut cream and the whole thing. It's it's an all-day process.
That's
but
awesome.
It's completely worth it. I'll have to bring you some for sure.
Definitely.
Kyle, get your mama to make him some coquito. It's a holiday must.
Okay, all right.
It's a must. And you'd appreciate, have you had pernil before?
I think so. Tell me again.
Pork shoulder?
Yeah. The pork shoulder, yeah.
The
Puerto Rican
pork shoulder?
We do it in a cajachina. We do the pork. You ever do a cajachina? It's like a box where you roast a pig in.
No.
Yeah, we do like the whole pig.
I love when you talk dirty to me, though.
A big pig box.
Are we at the Eagle or are we at Hill Country Barbecue?
Every day's the Eagle with me, I think.
Oh, all right. So on to Top Chef. You finished top seven?
Yeah, top seven. Huh?
Top seven. What was that like?
Almost winning sucks. Winning is better. But no, it was great. It was a great experience. You know, I learned a lot sort of about, you really learn about yourself. Like, I learned, it sounds so stupid when I say this, and I think I sound a little bit like an idiot, but I learned that really all you need for cooking is, like, a little bit of passion, a fire, and, like, that's it. Like, you just need to cook like that. I was very into the proper way to perform in a kitchen, the proper way to work in a restaurant, and I just kind of, like, Top Chef really brought me out of that shell that you can be so successful in any way. And there, you know, I was on a season with great chefs.
Yeah.
I should drop some more names. No.
No, I've seen them. Y'all
they're like the real deal, yeah.
They are the real deal. And then on to Chopped. What was Chopped like?
Chopped was more fun because I had done reality TV. So Chopped was funny. I kind of got on it at the last minute. You know, I knew one of the people that worked on it, and she called me. She's like, hey, you want to come on like this weekend? I said, okay. And it was fun. It was a fun experience. It's quick. It's one day. Top Chef is 5 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's one day, quick shoot. And I had a 1 in 4 chance of winning a bunch of money. So I took it. But Angie Marr, I don't know if you know Angie.
I don't.
She was on that season. She's the chef of the Beatrice Inn. And she just kicked my ass. She's so good. She is so talented. So
I love that. Now, wait, going back to Top Chef for a minute, the dish that took you down, I was reading, and I didn't understand it. So it was like cold pork?
Yeah.
It was like a pork and wine challenge, like matching pork to Pinot Noirs or...
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's exactly it. It was pork and Pinot, which is a Charlie Palmer event. Mm-hmm. And I remember it well. I haven't thought about it in a while, so thanks for bringing up such happy memories.
Just pouring salt in a wound, you know. So, you know the gays just love to
just
tear
love
you down.
It, just love it. Just tear you down to build you up, right? So I just couldn't figure out what to cook for this challenge. And you know, after I think I was at like week three, my brain was just dead, and I was tired and hungover. And I didn't know what to do. And I was talking to somebody. I was like, "It's so hot. It's 110 degrees." And Eli said to me, "He's like, why don't you just do like a cold smoked pork?" And I love smoked food. And I was like, "That's a great idea." It was a terrible idea. The worst idea ever.
How does one even begin to make cold smoked pork? Because it doesn't have to get hot at some point.
Yeah, so you make it the day before, you cook it, and then you serve it cold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was stupid. And a huge mistake.
It's like ham salad.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wasn't it? And even as I was putting on the... I actually went to the culinary producer afterwards. I was like, I can't do this dish. I got to do something else. And I was already committed to the dish. And she's like, nope, sorry. You just got to do it. And there was actually an element of the dish I didn't do, which was I was going to do grits, which has become sort of a passion of mine. I make grits all the time now, and I didn't do it, and I lost for a good reason. I felt okay losing on that dish.
I watched a bit of the episode, and it looked pretty incredible. So, listen, I had to do my homework when I have television chef royalty in front of me.
Thank you.
You know? So, especially television gay royalty at that cook. Hello. P.S., I think you and my mother would have a love affair because she loves her some grits.
Loves
her some grits, and I bet you, and you would love her coquito.
I'm into it. Let's do
it.
Yeah,
she's going to.
We'll do a special side podcast.
Right?
Mom and guest.
I don't know if I could have my mom on the pod.
Hey, I grew up on Gladys Drive, so maybe it's a whole weird connection.
I know. We're just like, a Hardee's connection, a Gladys
crazy,
connection.
Yeah.
Yes. So on to all these other television experiences that you've... What was Rachel Ray like?
Oh, Rachel's amazing. I've met her a few times at Food & Wine events, and she's super awesome, and she's just bubbly and amazing, and... it was great doing her show because, first of all, it's an organized machine. Like, all of these shows are so good. They're like, stand here, say this, and go. Ready, set.
Yeah.
So I really like working with her. You know, she's great. She does her studio's down the block. I don't know if you know. It's like Chelsea Studios. So she does her after her Christmas party here every year. So.
Oh. Yeah.
Or usually. I think she does it.
How does somebody get an invite to that, Jesus?
I'll sneak you in the back next
time. I love a back door. Would you say that, like, this television journey that you've been on has, like, taught you something? Like, what was, like, the big takeaway from all of this?
The biggest takeaway is, I think, a takeaway we all struggle with. It's like, be your authentic self. And that is actually what people want to see. And, you know, when I was on Top Chef, you know, I just should have been more myself. I mean, I was pretty much myself. I actually, the only person that ever quoted Sondheim on Top Chef.
I love that. Yeah. What was the quote?
Bears are sweet. You ever see a bear with 40-foot feet? Anyway, so yeah, I think it's about being yourself on television, and you realize when you watch yourself, you can see like all of your false tics, and you know, unless you're a sociopath, you see that falseness, and you go, whoa, no, that's not me. I need to be truer to that, and then you get back on TV, and you realize, okay, I can still be charming and witty and cool and exciting, but just be yourself, and that comes through the camera very easily, I think.
Yeah. I was almost on Cooks versus Cons.
Oh, yeah.
Amongst a bunch of other shows that I was almost on. But that one, I got to do a live cook for them. The 30-minute race against the clock.
It's crazy, right?
It is the most insane thing I have ever done. Because that was one of those shows, too, where they give you a secret ingredient. So you had to make your signature dish and incorporate this... secret ingredient, which happened to be cauliflower.
Okay, great.
And I make a killer mac and cheese.
Okay.
So I
delicious.
Made a curried cauliflower mac and cheese.
Delicious.
It was incredible.
And in 30 minutes.
In 30 minutes, but running around, and I tried something different because all these producers are watching you, and the whole thing is, are you a cook or are you a con? So you know all those delish or tasty videos that are on, and they're always cooking pasta in milk, which is like a little risky sometimes. Mm-hmm. I was like, let me try my hand at this and cooking the pasta.
For the first time on the show?
For the first time, yeah. I was like, let me see if it works.
Oh, my God.
And it sure as hell worked. Yeah. But that's a low and slow process, which I didn't realize.
Yeah.
But so it ate a lot of time. So thank God it was just quick to put together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it came out really, really amazing. I'm sad. I don't think that show ever really took off.
No, I think it had maybe a half season and just fell apart. Well, you should keep your eye out because I am on another show, which I can't tell you what show it is, but it is a cooking competition show that will be coming out next year sometime.
Oh, I want to barbecue battle you.
Let's do it. The great thing about a barbecue battle is, you know, if we really did one, we'd have two smokers, two smokers getting their briskets in, and then we just sit and have beers for 12 hours.
That's great.
So that's great, and just throwing wood on the fire.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have a favorite barbecue sauce that's not Hill Country made? Yes, we have to shout out to you, Hill Country, but like, do you have a favorite like store shelf barbecue sauce?
Not really. I usually make mine. Not really. I mean, I don't use a lot of barbecue sauce, to be honest. I think if you're cooking great barbecue, you don't need sauce. But yeah, definitely don't really have a fave on the shelf. My favorite condiment is Tabasco.
Really?
I use that a lot. I think just a dash of that. I actually put that in my grits. Dash of that in grits. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, Tabasco is such a specific flavor for me.
So specific.
That I seldomly use it.
Yeah, I love it.
Except for that Chipotle Tabasco. That Chipotle,
I love that Chipotle Tabasco.
Yeah. I have been known to drop one of those in my purse.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving a Chipotle restaurant.
That's okay. They got the money. They can handle it.
No, I'm more, when it comes to hot sauce, obviously I'm a Frank's guy in certain respects.
I love Frank's too.
But Cholula.
Oh, Cholula, yeah.
Chili garlic. Have you had the chili garlic Cholula?
I haven't had the chili garlic yet, no.
Oh, so good.
I'm on it.
And Valentina.
That's awesome. That's LA gay. That's amazing.
Yeah?
That's like West Hollywood realness, the Valentina, yeah. It's everywhere.
Do you know, random story, I was just at a steakhouse, Rocco's to be exact.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to call you out, Mr. Rocco. We ordered steak tartare, and the Macedonian waiter, he's like, it's very delicious, has the egg yolk, and comes with special Valentine sauce. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay, Valentine's. Oh, yeah, what is that? I'm like, yeah, we're here for it. Let's have it.
Yeah.
Comes out with the egg yolk and the steak tartare, and there's this red sauce on the side. We mix it all together. I'm like, wait a minute.
This is Valentine. I love that.
Not Rocco. I was like, Rocco, you tried this.
That's awesome. I love that.
Speaking of California gay, and before we wrap this up, are you a drag queen fan? Do you have a favorite drag queen? Seeming how you quoted Purse First. I've heard some things.
So I've only seen one episode of it so far, but we just started watching the UK drag race.
I haven't seen any of it.
Oh, it's amazing. I love that. And there's a drag queen called Bag of Chips, who I'm a little bit obsessed with.
Uh-huh.
But like, people I like to see, I love Busted. You ever see Busted?
Yeah, I've seen Busted. Busted is amazing.
She's crazy.
In your mouth, listeners, Busted, the last time I saw Busted, she had her kitten heel granny shoes duct taped to her feet.
She's nuts. I love her. I love Head of Lettuce. I think it's funny.
Head of Lettuce is insane. Yeah. She's my favorite.
Logan too. Hardcore.
Yes, friends.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of really, and they're just so talented. It's just mind blowing. I love a good
action. It's a hard life. That life is not easy.
I don't know how.
And expensive.
That's so expensive. Yeah, it's crazy.
How any of those girls afford to do it in this city and keep a closet full of boy clothes and then an entire wardrobe of wigs, makeup, and girl clothes.
It's crazy.
I will never know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming to giving time out of your busy schedule here at Hill Country.
Of course.
For little old me.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, finally.
Well, all right. All right, Shady Boots. Oh, boring it back. But no, this has been really, really special.
Awesome.
And just really, really great. I wish you the happiest of Thanksgiving
Happy
to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
And Kyle. Little known fact, I'm actually in Italy right now.
Oh, wow.
I'll be in Italy during Thanksgiving.
Perfect.
So
you will have lasagna. That's good.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you so much. I feel honored to have you. And I'm so ecstatic to have your story out there, you know?
Awesome. Thank you for doing this. Hear.
Yeah, anytime. And as always, folks, Ash, tell the kids where to find you on the social medias.
You can find me on Instagram at Ash Falk.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
nice easy. And easy.
I got in early.
And as always out there, don't forget to rate and review the pod. Follow me on at In Yo Mouth Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or send me some love notes to inyomouthnyc@gmail.com. Or if you want to send me hate mail, you could send it, as always, to at Bianca Del Rio on Instagram. And once again, folks, thank you for listening to In Yo Mouth.